All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Hey. Lamed Hey 35. We are picking up Emir Tzashem from Lamed Dalud Amud Beis 34b at the Tanu Rabbanon, which is 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Gil and Mali Horowitz in honor of the Yartzeit of Gil's father, Yehudi Yaakov ben Nosson Halevi, Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shem will have an aliyah on the family in the Chama. Shkoyach, and thank you. So let's begin. Tanu Rabbanan. Ketzad Sidron. We'll say, what is the Seder of the Parshios in Tefillin? So here we're coming to perhaps one of the most interesting machloksim when it comes to Tefillin. What's the order of the Parshios? Kadeshli, Vahaya Kievi Acham Yom. First of all, here's the good news. Let's read. Kadeshli Kol Bechor, right? So sanctify for me every firstborn. That's Parsha number one. Vahaya Kievi Acham, it will be when I bring you to Eretz Yisrael. That's number two. And those are miyamin. Those are from the right. Now understand, when the Gemara is talking right and left, we're going to clarify this in just a moment. Imagine for a moment, you're holding the tefillin, this is the shel rosh, not as if you are putting it on, right, where essentially the knot would be closest to your face, but you're holding it the other way, where the bias is closest to your face. So I'm holding the bias in my hand, the knot, let's say, would be over here. So looking at that, so the Gemara says, the order of the parashios are, from right, Kadesh Li Vayaki V'Yacha Miyamin, so it's Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, V'Haya Ki V'Yacha on the right, Shema V'Haya Im Shamoa Mismol, and then Shema and V'Haya Im Shamoa going left. Now we'll say, the Gemara says, V'Atanya Ipcha, but we learned just the opposite order. Om Rabbi Elokash, Rabbi says it's not a contradiction. Kan Miyamino Shal Kore, Kan Miyamino Shal Maniach. V'Akore Kore Kisijin. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, everything depends on how you're looking at the tefillin. If you're looking at the tefillin as I just described it, so it's Vahaya Ki Yevi'acha, it's Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, Vahaya Ki Yevi'acha, Shema, Vahaya Im Shema. Obviously, if you're looking at the tefillin from the reverse way, as if you were about to put it on, the parashios would be reversed. We'll say, so the way I just explained it to you is according to Rashi. Comes along Rabbi Nutam. If you look in Tosas, Divrei HaMaskil VaHakore. See that Tosas VaHakore? Look in the first wide line of that Tosos. Umefarish Rabbi Nutam, Kadesh VaHaya Kievi Acham Miyamin ShalHakore. Umismol ShalHakore, Havi Shma MiBachutz. So we'll say, fundamental machlokis Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, which is the order of the parshios in tefillin. So according to Rashi, again, if you're looking at the tefillin, not as if you're about to put the shel rosh on, but you're holding the bias in your hand, you're holding the bias in your hand with the knot further away from you. So according to Rashi, the order is from going from right to left. Kadesh li kol bechor, v'haya ki yevi'acha, shma v'haya im shamoa. According to Tosis, it's kadesh li kol bechor, v'haya ki yevi'acha, and then you jump to the left. Then from the left, it's shma v'haya im shamoa. So essentially, machlokis Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, specifically about the order or the placement of the parshios of shma and v'haya im shamoa. They agree in terms of Kadesh Li Kol Bechor V'Haya Ki V'Yacha. According to Rashi, it's Shema, then V'Haya Im Shema. According to Rabbi Nutam, Shema is put on the left-hand most box, and then V'Haya Im Shema afterwards. So we'll say, when we speak about, again, Rashi and Rabbi Nutam Tefillin, so the fundamental machlokes is regarding this, the placement of the order of the parshios. So incredibly, and obviously, I will say, Rashi is going to say that Rabbi Nutam Tefillin are puzzle. Rabbi Nutam is going to say that Rashi Tefillin are puzzle. So fundamental machlokes, but at least now you understand what it's about. So the Gemara goes as follows. Amrav Chanana Amrav. Hichlif Parshio Sepsulos. So I will say now, kind of following up on that, if a person were to switch the order of the parashios, the tefillin would be possible. Amra bai lo amran ella top of lamed hamad aleph lo amran ella gviyasa libriyasa ubriyasa gviyasa. That's only if you switch the inner parashios for the outer parashios and the outer parashios for the inner parashios. So I will say, so for example, in our model over here, let's say we're just going to go with Rashi, but let's say according to Rashi, if you were to switch v'haya ki yevi'acha with, let's say, Kadesh Likol Bechor, or you were to switch Shema with Vayam Shamoa. So then you're switching an inner parasha with an outer parasha. That's when we would say that ultimately switching it up would be possible. However, the Gemara says Aval Gviyasa Ligviyasa Briyasa Libriyasa Less Lanva. But if you switch an outer parasha with an outer parasha or an inner parasha with an inner parasha, there is no problem. Okay, so the Gemara seems to be saying over here that Lamaisa again, as long as you have Kadesh Likol Bechor, and according to Rashi at least, V'hayayim Shamoa on the outsides, even if you switch the two outside ones, the Petulon are still kosher. Similarly, if you go in and you switch up Kadesh Likol Bechor and V'hayayim Shamoa, you're also still kosher. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Amrli Rava, Maishna Gviyasa Lebriyasa Briyasa Legviyasa, Dilo. So we'll say, so why is it? So Rava asks as follows. I don't understand. If you switch an inner parsha with an outer parsha, so it's going to be possible. Why? Dahach debay lemechze avira lo ka chazye v'hadlo bay. So the Gemara says v'hadlo v'hadlo ka bay lemechze avira ka chazye. So the reason why it's possible is because literally you took a parsha that wasn't supposed to see the light of day, and now it sees the light of day. And you took a parasha that was supposed to see the light of day, and now it doesn't see the light of day. That's why it's possible. I don't understand, but you can use that same logic. So the Gemara says, "Briyasa l'briyasa v'gavisa l'gavisa nami, hach deboy l'mechse avira diyamin, kachazi avira d'smol." I don't understand, but the same thing should be if you mix up the outer parashios. Because the one that was supposed to see the light of day on the left now sees it on the right. The one that's supposed to see it on the right now sees it on the left. To which the Gemara says, kachazin avir d'smol, d'smol kachazin avir d'yamin, ela loshna. Rather, the Gemara is supposed to say, you're right, it doesn't make a difference. If you mix up any of the parashios, ultimately, the tefillin will be possible. So we'll say, so the conclusion of the Gemara is, the Havamina is, that you only invalidate the tefillin if you take one of the inner parshios. When we say inner parshios, referring to the two parshios that are in the two middle sections, and you make them outer parshios. Or you take outer parshios and you make them inner parshios. But if you mix up inner parshios or you mix up outer parshios, there's no problem. Kumashlan the Gemara says no. Once you go ahead and you deviate and you change the proper order of the parshios regardless, ultimately the tefillin will be pasul. So we'll say, so again, we're left off ultimately with the machlokes regarding the placement of the parashos, machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam will agree in their respective shitos that if you do go out and you mix up the parashos, you invalidate the tefillin. Good. Right. Barbosa, I just want to point out, I'm not doing it justice, obviously, because we're doing this fast, but this machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam by tefillin is a very exciting machlokes, because everyone knows about the two different types of tefillin. The truth is, there are many more than two different types of tefillin. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are just the most high-profile machlokes when it comes to tefillin. But there are many, many, many machloksim when it comes to how to properly go ahead and put together tefillin. But this machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is probably the most famous one. Rashi telling me ultimately again, from right to left, Kadesh, V'haya Kivyacha, Shema V'hayayim Shamoa. Rabbeinu Tam telling me from right, Kadesh V'haya Kivyacha, then go to the left, Shema, and then V'hayayim Shamoa. Good. But Amrav Kanana Amrav. Titura the tefillin halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Both said the titura of the tefillin are halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Now, what's the titura? See, they both say we often call the entire, we'll call it tefila, the entire box. We call it tefillin, or we call it the bayis. But in fact, it's not true. The square, the cube that sits on top is called the ketzitza. Right, the cube sits on a base. That base is called the titura. So Rav says the obligation to have a titura is halacha l'moshe miSinai. Remember again, Abosai, the totality of the mitzvah of tefillin is encapsulated in the words ukshartam li'os al yadecha, right? A very nondescript mitzvah that doesn't tell me anything except that I'm placing something on my arm and something on my head. And even on my head, I only know I'm placing it between my eyes. So remember, again, the details of the mitzvah are filled in by the halachos l'moshe miSinai. See the Gemara says over here, so tefillin requires a titura, that's halacha l'moshe miSinai. Amar Abaye, ma'avarta the tefillin halacha l'moshe miSinai. Soon the ma'avarta, we'll say, what's the ma'avarta? So the ma'avarta, remember again, is if you have the ketzitza, you have the cube sits on a base, That's called the titura. On the back of the titura, there's like an extension, right? So if you notice again, tefillin doesn't sit like centered on the base. There's a base, but the base extends backwards. What's in that base? That's the area that the ritzua goes through. That area that the ritzua goes through is called the ma'avarta. It's a logical name, right? The ma'avar. It's like a bridge. It's the ma'avar. So that's the ma'avarta. That's halacha l'moshe misinei. Amar Abaye says, shin shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinei. The obligation to have a shin, ultimately, again, on the tefillin shel rosh, is a halacha l'moshe misinei. I will say, in addition to that, the obligation or the concept that one of those shins is three-pronged and one is four is also part of the halacha l'moshe misinei. V'tzarech shi'agi, Amar Abaye, shin shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinei. V'tzarech shi'agi acharis l'makom ha'tafar. Well, so not only that, the obligation, the grooves, this is talking about in the tefillin shel rosh. In the tefillin shel rosh, the grooves have to extend down all the way to the stitching. Rav Dirin Adamar, Kevan de Minkar, Lo Tzarech. Rav Dirin Adamar said, no, it's not true. As long as the groove is recognizable, even if it doesn't extend down to the stitching, ultimately the tefillin will still be kosher. Rav Amar Abaye, High Kilfo de Tefillin Tzarech Lemivdike, the Dilma Is Beiri Usa, Uba'ino Ksiva Tama Valaka. Abaye comes along and says, when the sofer goes ahead and writes tefillin, before he writes tefillin, he has to thoroughly inspect the cloth. Thoroughly inspect the cloth. Why? Because maybe there's a hole in the cloth, and it's going to turn out, therefore, that one of the letters is going to be incomplete. And if one of the letters is incomplete, ultimately, the tefillin will be pasul. Where do we get that from? Because the pasuk used the word lashon of uksav tam, which we understand to be a contraction of two words, ksiva tama. It has to be a complete writing. So therefore, Rav Dirin Arda says, no, lo tzarech, you don't have to inspect the cloth, and I'll tell you why. Kulmasa badikla. Well, says actually a very beautiful statement. The kulmos, the quill, ultimately of the sofer, does the bedika, does the inspection of the piece of parchment. We'll say, how so? Because what's going to happen when the sofer is writing the tefillin if there's a hole in the parchment? What's going to happen? His quill is going to get stuck in the hole. So ultimately, again, there's no need for him to do any additional inspection because the writing itself is the inspection. Amar Abi Yitzchak, Ritzuos, we'll say, this is really very exciting, Gemaras. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak says, Ritzuos Shchoros Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. We'll say black Ritzuos, that your Ritzuos have to be black, that's ultimately again Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. Meisvei Tfilin in Koshen Ose Ela B'minan. So we'll say, so the Brisa says as follows, Tfilin can only be tied with their own min, which we'll say is another way of saying that Ritzuos have to be made out of leather. That Ritzuos have to be made ultimately, again, out of the same material that tefillin themselves are made. Tefillin are made from the hide of a kosher animal. Ritzuos have to be made from the hide of a kosher animal. But yet, when it comes to color, bein yorokos, bein shcharos, bein levanos, but you can make them green, you can make them black, you can make them white. The one exception, adumos lo yeasa, you shouldn't make them red, mipnei gnai v'davar achar, because of degradation and something else. So Rashi points out, what is this? Let me take a look at Rashi. Adumos lo yeasa mipnei gnai, shemayom ru gardon hu umidam chatatav nitzbu v'edim artzuos. People will say that maybe the guy has wounds or scabs, and the reason it got red was because the tefillin made him bleed. So it looks disgusting if it's red. What's the davar acher? Davar acher, the Gemara says, is shemer yomru ishto nida ba'al v'nisbu dam. And if it's red, the davar acher is people will say, maybe what? Maybe he had relations with his wife, and she was a nida. And that's how the tefillin got all red. So I was thinking about this, like, who would ever, like, it's such a, but Ella Maibo said, you see, people, you learn a lot from this. Number one, that a lot of times our minds are not where they should be. That's number one, which is probably the primary lesson. And number two, I will say, is that sometimes people look very disparagingly upon the other. So there's a chisaron ultimately, again, ben adam l'chavero, and there's a chisaron ben adam l'makom. There's a chisaron in terms of where are my thoughts throughout the day? What do I think about? What am I preoccupied with? And ultimately, how do I look upon the other? So we'll say, so this gemara indicates over here that you can make tefillin, you can make the ritzuos out of any color you want. To which the gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Maisa betamido. So the Gemara tells a story. So the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Masa Betamindosh Rabbi Akiva, Sheikosha Tfila Bilshon Shal Tchelas. So Rabbi Yehuda says there was once a Maisa with the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva who made his Ritsuas out of Tchelas. Now both say, the word is out of Tchelas. It means he made his Ritsuas out of wool, not out of leather, out of Tchelas dyed wool. For lo Amar lo Dover. And Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything to his Talmud. If Sha'oso Tzadik Ra Talmud of Lo Michabo, could it be that the Tzadik saw his Talmud do something wrong and he didn't say anything? Amar Lohain, Lo Ra Oso. You're right, Rabbi Akiva never knew about this. Vimra Oso Lo Hayamanicho. Personally, had Rabbi Akiva known about this, he would not have allowed the Talmud to put on tefillin like that. Maseh Behorkunus, Benosh Rabbi Eliezer Ben Horkunus. Both said there was ultimately, again, there was a story with Horkunus, the son of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus, Shekosher Tfilah Bilashana Shal Argamon. He used to put his tefillin on with what? With Argamon is purple wool. Volo Amar Lo Davar. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus never said anything to his son. Efshar Oso Tzadik. We'll say, we're in Lamed Hamad Aleph, right across from Tosfos Dishin. Could it be ultimately again that the tzaddik saw his son doing something wrong and he didn't say anything? And I will say, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva brings this down. It's actually yesterday's parak in Hilchos Tshuva that the Rambam discusses this idea that a parent who sees their child doing something wrong and ultimately again doesn't say anything, it's an abdication of parental responsibility. So could it be that Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus sees his son putting on tefillin with Lashon HaShal Argamon and he doesn't say anything? Amrulo Hain Lo Ra Oso. This is actually very interesting. He didn't see him. It's quite possible that at this point in time, Horkunus was already an older, an adult. So just Rabbi Eliezer just didn't see him and he didn't realize what he was doing. Vim Ra Oso Lo Haya Manicho. And ultimately, again, if he did see him, he would have said something. So we'll see from here. So we have a problem. Because on one hand, the Brisa seemed to indicate that you could go ahead and make the tefillin out of any color you want. You just have to what? You just have to make it out of leather. We have these two stories over here indicating that it also has to be out of leather. Katani Miha, Bein Yurokos, Bein Shchoros, Bein Levonos. But we'll say, but remember, the Braisa said before that the Ritzuos have to be Shchoros, have to be black. From here we see that what? It could be any color with one exception, which was red. To which Mara says, so what's the answer? Lokasha, Kan mi bifnim, kan mi bachutz. Both sides, one is talking about the Ritzuah on the outside or in the inside versus the outside. When the Gemara says that the Ritzuos have to be black, that is a reference to the visible, external part of the Ritzuah that's visible. The underside of the Ritzuah could be any color you want. Any color you want. Even bifnim, maiginai, but I don't understand. Then why can't the inside be red as well? In other words, what's the ginai? What's the problem if it's red? To which the Gemara says, even if the maiginai v'davar acharika, zimnan demis hapichinai, because we'll say sometimes what happens, your ritzuas flip. So if your ritzuas flip, you can't make it red. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha lemaisa, this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The ritzuos must be black on the external side. On the underside, at Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you can make them any color you want, except for red. That's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. We'll say, you should just know, we can't get into it now, but you know, there's a newer thing now, that they make ritzuas that are black on both sides. Now, the maila of that is that if your ritzuas flip over, you're okay, because it's black on both sides. There's much written in contemporary halachic literature decrying this practice, not happy with it. For a simple reason, many of the posts can quote the idea, "V'pnei sha'ata motzi laz al harishonim." We didn't make tefillin like this for who knows how long. Meaning, clearly, so we'll say again. I want to point out, it's not the pshat like there's new science available that you can make ritzuas black on both sides. You can make ritzuas black on both sides 500 years ago. Also, this same way you make black on one side, you can make it black on the other side. Also, dafka, it wasn't done. So there's an interest. So just, this is mamish unfolding now. So again, it's available, and certainly again from a halachic perspective, not to have to worry about if your ritzuas flip over or not. Certainly one less thing on your mind, but it's just interesting to see about this concept that if something wasn't done for such a long time, so is it the best idea to introduce it or not? Okay, just even making you aware of the issue. So the Gemara goes back there. The Gemara says as follows. Tana, tefillin merubos, halacha l'moshe misinai. The tefillin have to be square, is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Okay? So the Gemara says, Ona Papa, Bitafran uba alachson. That's true again. I both say the stitching has to be squared, and the alachson, which means the diagonal of the cube, also has to be perfectly reflective of the fact that it's a square. Let's say that this supports. Somebody makes their tefillin round, it's a sakana. And you have not fulfilled the mitzvah in any way. Amra papa, masnisin da'avida ki amaguza. The Mishnah is talking about over here, if a person were to go out and make it like a nut. So the idea is, Rashi points out, if it's perfectly round, it also won't be kasha, but it's not sakana. If it's more shaped like a nut, not only is it not kasha, but it's a sakana as well. The concern ultimately was perforating the skull. So the Gemara says, Amra afhuna, tefillin kolzman shepnei tabla kayemes ksheros. So we'll say, so now Rav Huna comes along and says that tefillin, as long as the tavla, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, tavla ze'or shel batim. As long as the external part of the tefillin is intact, even if some of the inside is crumbling, ultimately, again, the tefillin is still kosher. Now, what does this mean? So the Gemara says, like this. So again, tavla is a reference to the external tzura, the external form of the tefillin. So as long as the external form of the tefillin is intact, even if there's some type of crumbling going on the inside, the tefillin will still be kosher. Rav Chista amar, nifseku shtein ksheros, shalosh psulos. So Rav Chista says, that's true only if up to two of the inside walls, because we're at the shel rosh, we have different compartments. We'll say, let's say from the outside the tefillin is totally intact, but on the inside, some of the divider walls are crumbling. So Rav Chista says, if up to two of them are crumbling a bit, the tefillin are still kosher. Shalosh psulos. Once you have three internal walls, ultimately again the tefillin will be pasul. Amar Rav Hadam Shtaim Ksheros La Amar Ela Zeh Shelo Kineged Zeh. Furthermore, Rav said, when is two crumbling still going to be kosher? Only if they're not two walls next to each other. Aval Zeh Kineged Zeh Psulos. But if they're next to each other, it'll be pasul. V'Zeh Kineged Zeh Nami Lo Amar Ela Becharata. Furthermore, again, I will say, when we say that Zeh Kineged Zeh, right, if they're next to each other, ultimately again they'll be pasul. That's only with brand new tefillin. Aval Ba'atikta Leslan Ba. By old tefillin, even if they're next to each other and they crumble, the tefillin will still be kosher. We'll say, what's the logic there? Because if it's new tefillin and it's crumbling on the inside, that means what? The hide was never good. If the hide was never good, Rashi points out, it's as if it's not in existence, and therefore it's the tefillin apostle. If it's old, then the tefillin were good. It's just now this is the wear and tear. So this is actually an interesting distinction. So ultimately, again, what we're saying over here is the crumbling of two inner walls of the shel rosh could compromise the tefillin, but only in new tefillin. In older tefillin, even if it's two walls next to each other and they're crumbling, the tefillin ultimately, again, will still be kosher. More than two walls crumbling, even an old tefillin, ultimately compromise the tefillin. I'm Rabbi Rav Yosef. Hechi dami charet and hecha dami atikta. But how do you tell what kind of tefillin is new, what kind of tefillin is old? I'm Rabbi Kohecha ki misli be bishilcha v'hadir chalim atikta v'idach chareta. To which the Gemara says, any time that you go ahead and you were to pull the tefillin, pull the hide, right, of the tefillin, and what? It would go ahead and return back to its original form. That's called atikta. That's called old tefillin. Otherwise, again, if by stretching it out, it doesn't return to its original form, that's called new tefillin. Amud Beis. V'inami, kolechi dechi matli ba, v'masna asya abasrei, charata, v'idach atikta. Otherwise, the other possibilities, take a look at the top Rashi, Lamed Hei Amud Beis. Rashi says, kisha ochis adam beretzuat luya bahen, v'asu tefillin abasrei, v'ina nitkin charata, the other passage I will say is ultimately, again, if you were to hold the tefillin in your hand, the people were to pull it in two different directions. Ultimately, again, if it would stretch out, that's new. If it doesn't stretch out, it's not new. Okay, these are just, but say, obviously, a lot of these simanim are also very much reflective of how they were actually making tefillin. Obviously, tefillin, you know, I will say, if you were to see Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillin, I'm sure that in many ways they would not look like the tefillin we have today. Obviously, in many ways they would. But even if you don't have to go back to Moshe Rabbeinu, even if you look at tefillin from 100 years ago, right, the tefillin look different. They just look different. The paint looks different. The leather is often different. The tzura is often different. So obviously, these ways that they're trying to show the difference between old and new tefillin are also reflective of how they're making tefillin. Abai Havi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, I'm in here with base, third lie down. Listen to this. So Abai was sitting before Rabbi Yosef. If sikle ritzua de tefili, so we'll say what happens. Abai's ritzua ripped. His ritzua ripped. So what did he want to say? Amrle, ma'ali mikdre. So Abai says to Rabbi Yosef, can I sew it? I want to sew my tefillin back together. Amrle, you can't do that. He says, Ukshartem ksiv shatek shirakam. I'm sorry. Actually, lemiktre doesn't mean sew. Lemiktre means to tie. He wants to go ahead and tie the tefillin back together. Not sew. We'll see sew in just a moment. Can I tie that? Let me just knot the two ends of the ritzua together. Shalom al Yisrael. To which Rav Yosef said, Amrle, Ukshartem ksiv shatek shiratama. No. Ksharta will say, just like ksavta means ksivatama, complete writing. Ksharta means it has to be a complete tying of the tefillin. Which Rav Yosef is another way of saying that what? That the ritzuas themselves can't be knotted individually, but rather, again, there has to be a complete tying of the ritzua onto the bayis. Therefore, if it rips, you can't knot the two ends together. Amalei Rav Acha, Rav Yosef, Rav Ashi, ma'le mitfere, va'ayle litfira lego. So, okay, so fine. I understand I can't knot it. Can I sew it? Now, I will say, the way they're talking about sewing it is as follows. You're sewing it in a way that the stitch won't be visible from the outside. So if you take the two ends, essentially, you're going to take a little bit off both ends of the ritzua, tie it underneath the ritzua, so that when looking on top of the ritzua will look smooth and uniform. So the stitching, because obviously, based on what we just said before, if the stitching is going to be visible, then what? It's not going to be good. That's no different than knotting it. What if I could stitch it together, but the stitching will be invisible? Amarle, suppose that it's amazing. Amar, he says to him, Pok chazi ma'amadavar. Why don't you go see what the Jewish people do? In other words, say, to which Rabbi Yosef responds, go look at what people do. Do people do that or not? And obviously the answer is, people don't do that. So the fact that people don't do that indicates that the Mesorah for Klal Yisrael is that what? We don't stitch together our ritzuos. Amazing, Yosef. So much to say about each of these things, but this incredible idea that Rav Yosef says, Pok chazima amadava. Go and see what your people do. Amra Papa, gardumi ritzuos ksheros. We'll say this is actually interesting. So gardumi ritzuos, we'll say gardum literally is a stump. Ritzuos stumps. What are ritzuos stumps? Take a look at Rashi. Gardume ritzuos. Masha tola min haritzuos la'achar shenis kashru barosh. Im nivsak me'osan shirayim v'neshtayru gardumen k'sherin. Gardume haru shirayim. So listen to this. This is talking about the straps which come down from the shalrosh. So after you have the knot in the back of the shalrosh, there are straps that come out of the shalrosh. Those are called gardumim or shirayim. Let's say they get cut off. Let's say they get cut off. How much of that do you need in order for the tefillin to be kosher? So the Gemara says, Amarav Papa Gardumi Ritzuos Kshero. So we'll say, Papa seems to say that as long as any amount is left, it's kosher. V'lav mil sihi. It's not true. Mida Amri B'nei Rabbi Chiyah Gardumi Tcheles V'Gardumi Ezov Ksherin. So we'll say, when it comes ultimately again to Tcheles, so Gardumi Tcheles, which we'll say is the case of where your tzitzis, Tcheles of the tzitzis gets cut off and there's only a little bit left, or gardume ezov, right? The ezov Rabbi says by the para aduma ksherin. As long as there's something left of these items, they'll be kosher. Hasam hu detashmishe mitzvah ninhu. That's ultimately again because these items are what's called tashmishe mitzvah. They're utensils for the performance of a mitzvah. Aval hacha detashmishe kiddusha ninhu. No, lo. Rabbi says in this case over here, because these are items that are called tashmishe kiddusha, which means ultimately, again, they serve service items. They serve kedusha items. Lo, now we'll say, we're going to see what that means in just a moment. Maybe having shirayim is not enough. Michlal de isra, what we're saying over here is, for ritzuas, having just a little bit left over will not be enough. In other words, michlal de islu shiura. That ultimately, again, we'll say, there is a shir for the amount of ritzua that has to be left after the knot of the shel rosh. So how much do you need? Or what is the shear of the ritzua that has to hang down? Amrei Barchama, Amrei Shlakish, ad etzba tzereda. So we'll say, Reish Lakish gives this shear that's called between the etzba and tzereda. Now there's a machlokis as to what that means. Rav Kahana, mach vikafuf. Rav Kahana said that is the amount of space in between the index and middle fingers. Right? Etzba tzereda, he understands, is index and middle fingers. So this much, right, this much space is how much ritzu you have to have left. Ravashi machvi, excuse me, Ravashi machvi pashut. So Ravashi says it's the amount in between what? The index finger and the thumb. So we'll say which is obviously a larger shear. Yeah. So again, here's what everybody's agreeing on. What everyone's agreeing on is that halacha lamaisa, there is a shear for the amount of ritzua that comes off the shel rosh. What they're disagreeing about is how much. Ultimately, again, now everyone seems to be agreeing to the position of Reish Lakish, which is ad etzba tzreida. Their machlokes just is how much is ad etzba tzreida. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rav Katalu Pashat Vishadi. So we'll say, now the Gemara goes, excuse me, Rabbah. Katalu Pashat Vishadi. So we'll say, Rabbah would go ahead and, Rashi says, Rabbah, Kishamaniach Tilin, Kashale Bereshe, Vishiyari Haritsuos Pashat Vishadi Lahu, Vitolin Al Kasefa Meachoros. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. What Rabbah would do is Rabbah would go ahead and after he would tie the knot of the Shorosh, he would allow the extra Ritzuos to hang down his back. He'd put it down his nerves, meaning he wouldn't drape it over his shoulders. So the Gemara says, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Kater Umaslislehu. So let's say Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, after he would tie the knot of the Shorosh, he would braid the remainder of the Ritzuos. Mar braid Ravna Avid Kididon. Marbury Dravna does what we do. Rashi says, what is it that we do? We take the excess part of the Ritzu of the Shorosh and we drape it down in front of us. Amra Vidre Drashua Bashilas, Mishmei Drav, Kesher Shal Tfilin Alach HaLamoshem Yisinai. So we'll say, so Rav Shila said the name of Rav, that the Kesher of Tfilin itself is a Halach HaLamoshem Yisinai. Now we'll say, now what's interesting about this is as follows, which is that although it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, clearly there's a machlokes about what the halacha l'moshe misinai is. Is it the square? Is it the dalet? Some say the square is a double dalet. But it's interesting because not too often do you find halachos l'moshe misinai which themselves are subject to dispute, yet this one is. Amrav Nachman, v'navehen lebar. We'll say v'navehen lebar literally means they're beauteous to the outside. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. V'navehen lebar, Hashem yenira mibachotz. The idea over here is that the knot has to be visible on the outside. Has to be visible. This is talking about the knot of the Shal Rosh. So Rav Ashi was sitting before a Marzutra. Is hapcha le ritzua de tefillin. And his ritzua became overturned. Do you not hold that the beauty of the tefillin has to be right side up, has to be visible on the outside? Amrale lava datoi. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Otherwise, I will say, it was an interesting thing. Sometimes you can't read into every single thing that happens to a person. So here again, what's interesting about this is, you know, Ravashi is sitting there before Marzutra, and Ravashi's tefillin becomes overturned. So Marzutra understands that Ravashi is making a statement. Ravashi says, I'm not making a statement. My tefillin just happened to overturn. The Ritzua is overturned. Incredible idea. So it goes like, Varoka amea aret kishem hasham nikra alecha v'yaru mimeka. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, and the nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon you and they will fear you. So we'll say, what is this referred to? Tanya, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol Omer, Elu Tefillin Shel Barosh. Ultimately, again, this refers to Shel Rosh Tefillin. That's the tefillin that the Amei Aretz, that the nations of the world will be able to see. Vasiros Yes Kapai, Vera Isi Yes Achorai. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu asked to see God. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will remove my hand and you will see my back, or you will see me from behind. Ultimately, again, it tells us that what did Moshe Rabbeinu see of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We saw the Ribono Shel Olam's Kesher of his Shel Rosh. Incredibly beautiful idea. Rabbi Yehuda ultimately says that what? The Kesher of Tefillin of Klal Yisrael has to be lamala, which Rabosei means, Rashi says, begova harosh olamata betzavar, that the knot of the shalrosh should not be positioned on the neck, rather it should be positioned on the head, the bottom of the head, but the head nevertheless. Why? Kadeshu yisra lamala velo lamata, symbolic of the fact that Klal Yisrael should be on top and not below. Vizark shei klape pnim, and the knot of the shalrosh should be opposite the face of the individual, kadeshu yisra lefnim, in order that Klal Yisrael ultimately again should be in front and not behind. Right? So we have to stop over here for today. Shkoyach, again, these beautiful sugyas continue through Shabbos as well. I recorded the Parsha thought. Moshe already posted it last night on the WhatsApp. Shkoyach, a good Shabbos. Tomorrow morning, Daf Yomi on Shabbos, this Shabbos is tomorrow morning, 8:05 a.m.